God, thank you so much for allowing us to get together in a dry place. Lord, we don't even realize how much we take for granted on a daily basis when it comes to our lives, our homes, our church. Just the fact that we're able to be in a dry place right now, meeting together, worshiping you, is an awesome thing, God, and it's only because of you. And so, Father, we give you glory for that, and we thank you for that. And God, at the same time, our hearts go out to those that are not here. And Lord, there are people living on the streets that are homeless right now, and God, they're in water. And Lord, there's just so many people that are going to be affected by this. Lord, I pray that you would use us. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't back down from the opportunity to show people how much you love them through our service to them. Give us those opportunities, and may we jump on them. We love you, Lord. Bless our time together in your word. May it convict our hearts and change our lives. In your name I pray. Amen. So this morning, I'm talking the last message of the stewardship series that we're doing here. And this has been really good. Of course, Ben hit it last week and did a great job. I got to listen to it this week. By the way, if you haven't gotten to listen the last couple of weeks, go listen to the last couple of weeks. Some really good stuff there. Ben did an incredible job last week. And this week, I'm finishing this up with talking about investment and investing. I love investing. I don't know about you. I'm one of those weird people, and I don't do the stock market per se. Maybe one day, I don't know. But I invest in other things. In fact, anybody that really knows me knows that any collectibles that I have, that all of those collectibles are things that I invest in. I invest in them. Did y'all get that? We were having fun there. Anything I collect, I invest in. I don't know if you're this way or not. I have like criteria for things that I invest in, mostly. And in the criteria, usually kind of has, you know, these different things. You know, it has to be something that if I buy it for this, then I can sell it for more. That's one of the criteria usually. And so, you know, I'm always, you know, I've got a friend of mine, he's always kidding with me. He's like, you're always looking for a deal. And it's so true. If I feel like I can get it for this and sell it for that, I'm on it. You know, and so, you know, and this says, it's not necessarily always a bad thing. It can be a bad thing. It actually manifested itself while we were starting the church. When I was a youth pastor, I collected arcade games. This is such a weird thing, I know. But we had them at church, and it was like Miss Pac-Man's and Galaga's and all the old ones, you know, old cool, old school. And so, you know, I had all these things. And so then we moved back here, and I still had, I don't know, 6 or 7 arcade games. And it just kind of seemed silly at one point. I said, well, let's go ahead and sell them. I made a little money off of them. It's like, I could do that. And so sure enough, like, I mean, even when we were like looking for a church building, even when it wasn't even really on my radar to be thinking about trying to find them to fix and turn around and sell to help, you know, sustain, you know, paying bills at our house while starting the church or whatever, that's kind of what happened. And it just, I mean, it was like a monster took over. It went from like, you know, I'd go get one or two here or there to, you know, the next thing I know, I own a box truck that I traded a game for, and I'm bringing home like 15 and 20 at a time. You know, and it's like overload to the point where at one point we had over 100 of them, and they're not like baseball cards. You don't put them in a drawer. You know, it's pretty serious. But you know, it was this crazy deal, and you know, the thing is about investments. Investing is good. Investments are good. You know, but I think for many of us, if you're like me, for so many of us, we get caught up in the earthly investments so much that sometimes it's beyond, you know, trying to help take care of the bills. Many times it's about us just wanting more and more stuff. And so I'm gonna be challenging us with some stuff today. I'm gonna be challenging us with some decisions that I want us to be thinking about us making now for the future. And we're gonna talk about some of that stuff here in just a minute, so that'll make more sense as we go along. But the main thing that we're talking about investing in today is investing in the kingdom of God, investing in the kingdom of God. Now, I felt like I had to talk really loud in the first service because the rain was even louder than it is right now. So my voice is kind of coming and going. So just bear with me. But the passage that we're looking at today is out of the book of Matthew. So if you've got your Bible and you want to go ahead and turn to it, Matthew 25. And we're talking about the parable of the talents. And before we even get into this, I just want to kind of clear one thing up to help make it even more understandable for us that we're going to study it here in just a second, is that in this passage of Scripture and at this time, a talent was a form of money. It was a form of money or form of currency, if you will. In fact, it's debated exactly how much these guys were given in this parable when it's talking about the talents that are being given out, and this will make sense in a second, because talents could be gold, silver, bronze, copper, all these different things. And the deal with that is you know, because it's referred to as money in the passage of Scripture, that we think it's probably silver, which would have been the most common currency, actually coin money currency at the time. But it could have been any of these things. So we don't really know how much it was, but it was definitely, we're definitely talking in thousands of dollars here. We're not talking about like $10 or $20 or anything like that. So parable of the talents. I want you to read this with me in verse 14 of chapter 25 of the book of Matthew. And Jesus is sharing this with us, this parable of the talents. It says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." We just stop right there. Because this is a key verse to this whole thing going down. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them to his property." I want you to think about that for just a second. It's basically talking about a guy that is going on, and in fact, if you look at the Luke version of this same parable, it shows us even a little more glimpse into where this guy was going. He had kingdoms. He was a lord, possibly a king. You know, we don't really know because Jesus doesn't really say all that much about it, but in the Luke passage, it makes really clear that he had kingdoms, plural, and it even says that the people of his kingdoms didn't really like him all that much. He wasn't like the most likable guy. But apparently he goes to three of his servants, as we're going to see here in just a second, and he entrusts them his property. He does not give it to them for them to keep. He entrusts it to them. Verse 15, "To one he gave 5 talents. Again, talking about money here. "To another 2. To another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away." Now right there we understand that the master saw in his servants things that they were capable of handling. If you're a boss, or if you work for a good boss, then your boss should have some kind of an inclination of like what you're good at. If he doesn't, he's probably not using you well in your job. But, you know, a good boss will understand, you know, how much you're capable of handling. And the master here understood these 3 servants, what they were capable of handling. Verse 16, it goes on, it says, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and he traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. Double the investment. Good investment. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. Another double investment, also good. Verse 18, but he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Huh. So we've got 2 guys. 3 guys get money, but 2 guys that actually take it and invest it, and out of their investment, they double their money. That's a good investment. And again, we're talking probably thousands of dollars at least, that we could say. Possibly a lot more, which would be even crazier to think about. But these first 2 guys make good investments, and the last guy goes and he just decides that he's going to dig a hole in the ground. And he puts his master's money into it. The passage goes on, it says, verse 19, "Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Now this is, if you hadn't guessed, you know, there's a lot of this passage that is not just Jesus telling about what happened between this master and his workers, but it's also talking about our relationship to God and talking about how we communicate with him and things are going on with him. Well, this particular verse is being very pointed about something that happens that we know is going to happen. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, after a long time, Jesus is going to come back, and when he returns, he's going to settle up accounts. We don't think about this a lot. In fact, hardly ever, if you're like me, hardly ever are we thinking about the accounts that Jesus is going to come back and settle up. Me and you, we're used to the guy that we owe a bill to. You know, we know that he's coming every month. We know that, we got to pay the electricity. We got to do this. We got to, unless you're living off the grid and you got like solar panels everywhere and I'd like to come to your house and just hang out for a little while and see what that looks like. But, the thing is that we're used to this. We're used to knowing that somebody's coming and they're expecting our money. And if we quit paying at some point, what's going to happen? They're going to shut it off. They're going to show up. They're going to call the creditors. They're going to come hunting for us. They're going to start taking our stuff away. We get that. What we're not thinking about very much is the fact that when Jesus returns, that when we go to meet our Creator, that we're going to have to give an account. You think about that. I think for most of us, we're just so into this. We're just so into this thought of, I got saved, so I'm going to heaven, and that's really all that matters. And that is Satan selling us on a lie. That is not all that matters. Us knowing Christ and him saving us, yes, absolutely. The most important thing that can happen in our life. But let me just tell you something. If we really know Jesus, if he has really transformed our hearts, then our lives will look like it. And so will our finances. So will our things. So will our time, our talents, our treasure. These talents and those talents, two different talents, by the way. That's the talents that we're used to thinking about. But we're to be faithful to God with all of these things. And that's just it. This is not necessarily just about money. And that's the great thing about this series. This series hasn't been necessarily about money. Yeah, it's included money. We've talked about money. Because money is something that God has given us to manage. Just like we see the master here that takes these three guys and says, well, you get five, you get two, and you get one. God has given you something, he's given me something. And it's up to us to be a good steward of it, whatever it is. And it's a struggle for me. I'm not always a good steward with everything that God gives me because I love stuff. And I love my time. And I love food way too much. All these things are factoring in to the fact that we got to pay attention, that we're supposed to be good stewards of everything. Our words, our time, our bodies, everything. Verse 20. After the master has come back after a long time, just as Jesus is going to do one day. It says, and he who had received the five talents came forward, bringing five talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me five talents. Here I have made five talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Wouldn't that be great to hear? Just hearing, well done, good and faithful servant. Be awesome to hear one day. I hope I get to hear it. Verse 22 says, and he also who had the two talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me two talents. Here I have made two talents more. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think so much of our time and our thought when it comes to our walk with the Lord and in our church going, in our Christianity, if you will, is just spent thinking, I'm good to go. I got Jesus. I'm good to go. That we completely miss the purpose of this life. Because truth be known, we all say, well, I want to do God's will, and I want to find the meaning of life, and I want to find God's will for my life. But if we really want that, then that means that we would do our best to read God's word and that we would live it out. That we would be good stewards of every little thing. You know, the interesting thing about the first two servants, they get to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, and I'm gonna make you faithful over much. I'm gonna make you faithful over a lot. I mean, that's one of those things that I know there have been moments in my life that I've prayed, God, would you please allow me to be able to just really do some cool things for your kingdom? Would you allow me to be able to do great things for your kingdom? Not for my sake, but for your glory. God, would I be used to glorify you? And you know, I think sometimes we pray those prayers and we mean it with our heart, but then we don't see any action. We don't see God's movement. We don't, you know, and not always that it's going to happen just like that. But the truth is that for many of us, we never see God's movement because we've never been faithful with what he's given us right now. A good leader, a good boss, is not going to put somebody in charge over a ton of stuff unless they've seen them be faithful over something small to begin with. And it's just a very basic understanding of something, but we just take it for granted. You say, well, you know, Chris, it's hard being faithful over everything. I know. I know. But this is our call. The awesome thing that happens is that when we are faithful with the things that God has given us, with our time, with whatever it is, if we're a good steward with everything that God is allowing us to manage in this life, God is glorified through that. God is glorified. I mean, you just take the subject of generosity alone. This past year, I know that there was we had an individual that came to the church, and they don't even go to our church. They came to the church, basically to us, and said, "Hey, I really feel God leading me to give you guys some money," and it was awesome. It was such a huge blessing. You know, and through that, I mean, I've seen God do so much stuff. It's been ridiculous because we've been able to do a bunch of things that we've always wanted to do. And you know, it's been making kids' ministries better and hopefully processes better of just, you know, helping people to feel more acclimated to the church and feeling, you know, understanding how to get involved and, you know, what it means to be a member. I mean, just all this stuff. Just amazing. God's been glorified through that. At the same time, I've seen people come to our church that have very little, but have been very faithful to God. And I know that because I can see it in their heart. And I know that it's a struggle for them to even financially think about giving, but they do. They do. They're faithful to God. And it, you know, that's a between you and God thing. about where that lies in your life. You know, and I know Ben touched on this last week, and I'm just briefly mentioned it the week before. You know, for those of you that are like up to your eyeballs in debt, you really need to work on getting out of debt. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that you neglect the kingdom of God. You see, we got to think about this like we're running a marathon and not running these little short races. Because what happens is we're training our hearts to do without. We're training our lives and our families to live without doing things that God has called us to do. And trading one thing off for another is not where it's at. It's not about like, well, you know, I'll give my time and then I won't, you know, give my finances. Listen, God's just said, go all in. And be smart at the same time about taking care of your bills and your debt and those things too. It's an all-in type thing. And these first two guys, they understood this. And I think for so many of us, what we do is we take what God's given us and we do with it what we want to do, and then we dig a hole in the ground. And we put all that stuff in it. And it just becomes useless. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just becomes useless. It does nothing for the kingdom of God. And what we're doing is we're not building his kingdom, we're building ours. Let's just build our kingdom over here. And, you know, here's our pile. And, you know, the dirt pile kind of gets bigger because we keep having to dig, you know, down and like make more. And, you know, before long, you know, our backyard looks like an old school cemetery or something. When I was a kid, this is going to sound kind of crazy, but when I was a kid, I had this little path that I rode my bike through the neighbor's backyard. And she was an elderly lady, and she loved me coming over, and you know, and it was cool, and she liked me riding through her yard, actually. So, but I kept riding through the yard, and eventually she actually got to where she couldn't stay in the house by herself, and they had to put her in a nursing home. And so we kind of watched after the house, just kind of keeping an eye on it and that type of thing. My family did. And one day I was riding through the backyard, and the path had worn down some of the dirt. And in the dirt, I saw something like, you know, in there. I was like, what is that? And it was round, and it didn't make sense. So, I went and got a shovel. It was just next door, and I went and got a shovel from our house. Went back over there, and I started digging this thing up. And I dug up a cannonball. True story. In fact, we don't know where the cannonball is today. We think my dad threw it away. We're not sure. But this weird thing about me as a kid, you know, I loved stuff like this, just like I love all types of random junk. And it was cool to find a cannonball, especially when you're like, you know, 10 years old or whatever. And I had this thing, so, you know, I don't know if it was like the pirate in me or what, but I decided it would be a good thing to do to like put it in a plastic bag and then take it back and dig the hole a little deeper and bury it back in the ground. And I did this. And I did this actually until finally no one really ever knew what happened to the cannonball. It's gone. I don't have it. That's pretty much what happens to us with our stuff. And by stuff, I don't mean just stuff. I mean our time. I mean our talents. I mean everything that God has ever given us to use for his kingdom and for his glory. When we take it and we put it in the ground and we bury it, it just goes to nothing. God's called us to do something with it. He's called us to do something with it. Now, I think one of the things that I think is hard for us to understand oftentimes is what does that even look like? And I'll be honest with you, I'm not here today to tell you what it looks like. You know, it's all of these things. It's time, it's talents, it's treasure. How are you using it for the kingdom of God? I can give you examples of how 24 Church is trying to do some of these things, and not just things. You know, obviously we have to operate, we have to pay bills to be able to be here and pay pastors and, you know, all of these other things. But at the end of the day, it's not just about 24 Church. And I actually got some lists of some stuff that I want to show you here in just a second of kind of the Jerusalem, which is the here that we see in Scripture, and the uttermost parts of the earth, which is everywhere else. And I even recently, sitting with someone that made a comment that made me realize that they didn't realize what we do here. Because what we talk about so much and what we market so much is so much of the what we're doing elsewhere, way off in other places. And we're going to talk about that in just a second too. But we do many things here. Now, before we even go over this list, I want to make one thing clear. I'm not showing you this list for us to brag about what we do as a church. I don't want you going out from here and going, well, you know, our church does this, this, and this. I'm not doing that, and I don't want you to do it. To God be the glory that we're even able to have done some of these things and that we still do some of these things. The main reason I'm showing you these things is because I want you to pray about them. I want you to pray about maybe be involved with some of them. And some of you already are, which is awesome. So let's look at the list. We've got the first up, we've got the Jerusalem, which is the here. Nightlights and Jive. Obviously, we've done Jive over the past several years, and we started Nightlights this past year. All that stuff is for the community. We have spent big bucks in the past. We're spending bucks this year to do Nightlights, to try to help people throw these parties in their neighborhoods. And we're trying to even help it morph a little bit this year where it can be on different nights and things to just try to, make it doable. And we want this to be very community, and I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But the second thing there, training our people to care, to minister for others. You know, the old model of church, and please don't take this as me getting on anybody else's church. That's not where I'm going with this. I want you to be real clear with that, and I want you to understand who we are as a church, and that's why I'm talking about it. The old model of church a lot of times was, and I grew up in this model, was, we have a revival. We bring a guy in from, nobody really knows, but we like pump him up and like, we take a picture of him and like put it on flyers and, hang at the gas station. I did this as a kid. This is a preacher kid thing, okay? And we have this revival and it's like four nights and we're inviting all of our friends to come and hear, brother so-and-so and he's going to share the word and, all this stuff. The model that we're trying to produce that we feel like is a much more biblical model is one where we would do what's called missional living, which is that we would go and that we would do life, have community with the people that we live next door to, that we would know them, that we would have relationships with them, the people that we work with, same thing. And instead of just inviting them to this one-time event, that we would build relationships with them so that eventually, yeah, we might bring them to church, but yeah, also that we might actually share Christ with them. We spend a great deal of money doing what we're doing right now, which is training our people to go out and be the church, not just go out and invite people to a church. This is huge. This whole idea of community, man, that's what Nightlights is about. It's trying to create community within your neighborhoods. That's that whole thing. I go on and on about that. That is missional living. Let's see the next list here. Food pantry. We got the food pantry going. People are using that thing nonstop, driving Carol and Joey crazy, I'm sure. Helping families. That's abroad, and I can't even tell you all the stuff that we do with that. We're involved with the Bridge Ministry, which Max Vick, if you've never met Max, him and some other folks helped start many years ago, and they still do every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, if you want to go and help feed homeless, they are down under the Jefferson Street Bridge feeding the homeless and providing for them a worship service and offering time for prayer, leading people to Jesus. Max told me this morning, he said, Chris, he said, I got a card last week, a prayer request card from one of the men that was down there. And he said, here's what it said on the card. It said, for 17 years, I worshiped Lucifer. This is just what he told me. He said, for 17 years, I worshiped Lucifer. A week ago, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and now he is my Savior. Thank you for what you're doing. That's good ministry. That's the kind of stuff we want to be a part of. The rescue mission, we do that from time to time. This is stuff that you're gonna be seeing more of this before the end of the month, I promise you. Opportunities for you, and that's something that's been heavy on my heart, is that we haven't been real good about giving you the actual opportunities and saying, here's a time and a place that you can go and do this, even though it's always there. We're gonna do more organized ministry with that. Counseling instead of divorce. Many of you don't know this, but our church shells out the change for this. Because I hate, and God himself hates divorce. I can't tell you how many couples we have sent to marriage counseling. It would blow your mind if I had them all stand up in church one day. Blow your mind. Some of them aren't even here anymore. We believe wholeheartedly so much in marriage that we are willing to help people pay for their marriage counseling. And that offer stands at all times. There have been moments when we could barely pay the bills of the church, and I sent people to counseling anyway, and I just said, go on. And Nathan and everybody else doing the books are like, we ain't got the money. I'm like, we'll figure it out. And we send them to a Christian counselor that we've approved, that we know that loves God, and he loves the marriage that God has intended for people, and he wants to help them through it. Huge, huge, huge. Next slide. We've bought cars for people. We've done this twice. We've done this twice. It's not something that we do all the time. It's something that we're very careful about doing. We have to know the individual or know a whole lot about them before we're even thinking about doing it. But this is the kind of, again, just kind of stuff that's off the radar. We don't talk about it from up here because we don't want it to be about like, hey, look at us. It's not about us. We did this as recent as a month ago. Within the last month, we bought somebody a car. And we've actually got them worked out with a payment plan where they're actually going to pay the church back for the vehicle. And the church is holding the title. Crazy stuff. We have helped people find jobs. We've done that in the last month. Backpacks for kids that their families can't afford supplies. We've now been working, I guess now, 2 or 3 years, it seems like. I know with Pleasant View Elementary, and we started, I know, at least 1 year, maybe 2 years now with Coopertown, where we're putting together. We've had a home, I know one home team that actually did a whole, just took it on and did the whole thing for one of the schools themselves. Didn't have to open it up to the rest of the church. They just took it on and did it, made it happen. We've paid bills for people. That kind of stuff we have to be very careful with. You know, there's people, and we've had many, many times, like they'll actually say, well, yeah, I'm just calling every church in the phone book, and they're living on the other side of Nashville. So we know that they're calling everybody in Nashville, and us included. And they're just, you know, they're just seeing how much money they can get out of all the churches that they can. It's very hard to know sometimes exactly how you help people. And we don't always pay people's bills. In fact, more times than not, we do not pay people's bills when they ask. But there are moments in time when God leads us and we know without a shadow of a doubt it's something we're supposed to do and we jump on it and we do it. Next slide. We're probably on to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now this is stuff that you hear about quite a bit. Because this is stuff that we're constantly trying to get people involved with and just thinking about and praying about, because these are people that are far away oftentimes and they're not right here with us. We've got Africa for Jesus, which is the first one, which is where we're actually sponsoring missionaries over in Africa that are starting brand new churches. We're sponsoring 4 missionaries right now. We have families in our church that are sponsoring, and our church is giving money to help sponsor 4 missionaries that are starting churches right now in Africa. That's pretty amazing, honestly. Connect Church in Seattle. Dale Braswell starting a church in Seattle. I'm there once a month, so I get to see it. Actually got to teach there last weekend. Very cool. They're seeing good growth, especially for in that area. And as young as they are, I'm super proud of what they're doing. God is really working there. We've obviously tried to do a bunch of stuff for Haiti, talking water, tents, church rebuilding, Compassion International, which is trying to help orphans there, Blood Water Mission, which is building wells. That's been mostly in Africa. We're called to be here and there. And we're trying our best to do both. But here's the great thing about the local church. The great thing about the local church, at least one that's really paying attention to what they're doing with their money, and we really try, is that like any of those up there, if you were to come and ask me, how are they spending that money? I could get on the phone and find out within minutes. I called Dale Braswell right now at Connect Church in Seattle, and I could say to him, hey bro, what'd you guys do with the $1,000 that we sent you guys last month? And he'd be able to say to me, well, actually, we bought our kids' curriculum last month with that money. Used that money, turned right around and bought our kids' curriculum. That's actually true, because I actually asked him last week while I was there because I knew I was going to talk about it to you. Our investment is so important. A lot of this is monetary, but it can also be time. It can also be spent in our prayer life and how we spend time praying for God to work and do great things. When was the last time you prayed for any of those? When was the last time you prayed for our church? When was the last time that that you prayed for each other, for your family, for your community, for your neighborhood, for your neighbor that doesn't know Jesus? Here's the thing. We have a great opportunity to do something huge. I don't think that we always recognize that. I don't think that we always recognize that with the stuff that God has given us, we're probably better off than the guy that got the five talents. And that if we'll take it and we will use it for the kingdom of God, he's going to bless it. Scripture teaches us he's going to bless it and that we're going to be rewarded. Now, here's where a TV preacher, not every TV preacher, but a lot of TV preachers will get sideways with this. They'll say, you give all your money and Jesus is going to bless you. He's going to put a Mercedes in your driveway the next day and a bigger house next year. And that's not what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches us that we will be rewarded. And it doesn't mean that he won't provide monetarily at times. He will do that at times. But that we will be rewarded in the kingdom of heaven. And if you go back and if you study the parables before this parable, go to the book of Luke and see that parable. And look at this parable and go passages, go 3-4 chapters back and read all up the parables before we get to Jesus teaching this parable. And there is this one constant theme that is going throughout that the disciples are not getting. And Jesus keeps teaching it over and over and over again. And they keep not getting it and not getting it and not getting it. And at the end of the day, the theme is this, that we should be about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And the disciples get so messed up, you'll even see in the passage in Luke, where this one passage where they walk into the town of Jerusalem, where Jesus has been saying that eventually this is where, you know, some crazy stuff is going to go down. And they're thinking, oh, this is going to happen right now. And they've been thinking in terms of like inheritance. And if we're hanging with Jesus, well, we're tight with Jesus and he's going to take care of us when we're dead and we're going to have this inheritance. And truthfully, they're probably thinking that he's going to reign on some golden throne and that they're going to get to be his right and left hand guys and they're not going to have to do anything. They're going to have lots of money and all this stuff. And the truth is, that's not what Jesus was talking about at all. And he keeps saying, it's about the kingdom of God. It's not about here. And they're walking into Jerusalem and they're looking at the temple and they're like, oh my gosh. And they're like, you know, the first time you've ever been to Times Square, if you've ever been there. And you're just like, oh my gosh. And they're blown away and Jesus says, that's not what it's about. That's not it. You're not listening. It's not here. And that goes with the reward. Part of the reward is not here. And again, we're so caught up with thinking, you know, it's just about having Jesus. And as long as we got Jesus, then we really don't have to worry about the rest of life because we got fire insurance or whatever. And that ain't it. It's not about here. But a lot of it is about what we do here for there. We miss it. We have the ability to do something great as a church, as individuals, if we would really be faithful with what God has given us. The truth is this is going to fall on some deaf ears. There's going to be some people that hear this and they're like, man, that's a great message. And you're going to do absolutely jack about it. And I hate that. I hate that for you, and I hate that because I know it breaks God's heart. And I hate that you're not going to get to experience what God could use you and use your time, talents, and treasure to do for His kingdom. It's not about like what you've got now. It's about being faithful with it. One guy gets five, one guy gets two, one guy gets one. It's not about one guy having more than the other. That's not it. And so it leaves me with this challenge that I mentioned early in the message. And the challenge is this. It's very simple. But I want to challenge you and your family today, before the sun sets on today. You're going to go home. You're not going to have anywhere else to go anyway, unless you got a canoe, okay? But today, go home with your family. Over lunch, over dinner, I don't care, whatever. Before you go to bed, before you go to sleep, have this conversation. How much is going to be enough? Where do we stop? Because here's the thing. And some of you that are in your teens, your 20s, this seems so crazy to you because your bills are just ridiculous and you don't even see straight. You can't even pay it all. It's just not even happening for you. And some of you that are older than that are feeling that way too. But there's gonna be a day when you're caught up on the bills. And there's this extra, there's this above up here. And what if we, as God's people, instead of waiting for the day to come when that happens, we decide right now, well, you know what? We can live on this and we can stay in this house. We don't have to move up and we can drive this and we can do. And you figure out taking care of your family, you figure out taking care of what you really need, take care of your children. And then you say, you know what? Everything that's above that, let's use it for the kingdom of God. Let's take it and let's use it for the kingdom of God. You know, Chris, what do you mean by that? I can't tell you. Obviously, if you're part of a local church, then you want to use some of it there. And be faithful to it. But truth is God's given you passions in your heart and you've got things going on inside of you that's rolling around that are there for a reason. Adopting a child. Helping another family adopt a child. Helping start this battered women's home in Pleasant View. I mean, list goes on, but the truth is you've got passions on your heart that are deep-rooted, and they're there because God placed them there, and you need to pay attention to that. I can tell you that much. But here's the thing. If we don't decide right now where the line is, we'll just keep spinning it. We'll just keep doing away with whatever extra time we've got. If we don't make something a part of our schedule, we'll do something else that time. Say you want to help the homeless? Go help them. Don't talk about it. Make it a part of the schedule. Talk about that today. Talk about your time. Talk about your talents. Talk about your treasure. The thing is that we're supposed to be faithful and good stewards of everything that God has given us. That includes everything. And what if you started dreaming today about what if God provided for us to have an extra $10,000 one year, an extra $20,000 one year? What would we do with that for the kingdom of God? What could we do? What if you started dreaming that dream now? Because let me tell you what, if God sees you faithful now with a little, and you will be faithful with the little, and you start dreaming dreams and praying for great things for His kingdom later, He's gonna use you to do it somehow. And He may not give you the $10,000, but you may have a conversation with somebody one day at work, and they go, well, you know, we got into all this money, or yeah, I don't know. And you're able to go, you know what? You ought to give $10,000 to this. Whatever that dream was, whatever it was that God placed on your heart that would glorify Him. Why do you expect God to do it before you're ready for it? We shouldn't expect God to just do stuff when we're not ready. We've got to show him that we are. This idea of missional living, this idea of us going out and living amongst people, it's very basic. In fact, it's when we first started the church, it's what I told people we were doing. And by that, I mean this. When people would ask me about the church and they would act interested, I would say this. I would say, well, here's the deal. I said, if you want to come and you want to be a part of it, it's awesome. I said, but you got to understand that this is no different than going on a mission trip together. I told this to everybody that I can remember at some point in time. And they'd look at me kind of weird. What do you mean? And I said, because this is the thing. When you go on a mission trip, you go not knowing what's going to happen, not knowing what needs going to need to be met. I mean, it's just wide open. Who knows what's going to happen? And you just got to be ready to roll with it. And it's not about you. And it's not about me. It's about giving God glory through serving other people. And that's missional living. This idea of building community within our communities where there is no community, that is missional living. And this idea of missional living to the point that we would be willing to do anything that it takes, anything at all that it might take for us to take care of our family or serve in our church or whatever it might be. I'm going to close with this. I was told a story just a few weeks ago about a guy that was he was working for West Point, and he and his family lived there, and in a really nice home and all this, typical stuff. And he had an 11-year-old son who was having trouble in school. His grades were terrible. His attitude was terrible. I mean, just ridiculous. Just falling apart at the seams. Everybody else is doing fine in the family, but this 11-year-old son not doing so good. Dad working really long hours, gone a lot. So he's a believer, started praying, started asking God what he should do. And the guy felt God lead him to quit his job and go find another job where he would have more time so he could spend more time with his son. And he did. He went home to his family one day and he said, I've quit my job and I've applied for a teaching position at the high school. And we're going to sell this house and we're going to move into a smaller house because we don't need this big house. And you and I, son, we're going to spend more time together. And I look at that and I see a great example of missional living, of being a good steward of time, that it's not even just always about out in the church or on a mission field or, the homeless or whatever it may be, but that sometimes it's right there at home, that sometimes we're missing being good stewards of the things that God has given us, because there are so many men in this world who will sacrifice their sons to make a buck, and at the end of the day, they will regret every last bit of it. And that's where we've got to be honest with ourselves. And I can't tell you what that looks like for you. I just know that it rips me apart constantly, and I'm constantly struggling with it and dealing with it and going, okay, God, what do you want me to do? He's called us to be good stewards. This passage of Scripture shows us that God entrusts with us a portion to be good stewards. He's given each and every one of us a portion that we're to be good stewards with. We know that from the first two guys, that because of their faithfulness, that we too will be commended and rewarded for being faithful. But then we also know that with the last guy, that if we're not, then punishment and separation from God will come. The whole weeping and gnashing of teeth. When we are not faithful, we're separated from God. And the question that I have to leave us with today is this. Will we not sacrifice whatever junk that's really just an illusion, or our time, or whatever it might be, will we not sacrifice that when Christ Himself sacrificed His life for us to have life? And it puts it all in perspective. And if you're like me, I have a lot of thinking to do on this. I'm sure you probably think I've got this figured out because I've studied on it and I'm teaching it this morning, but I'm teaching to myself. And my heart is open and wanting to know what God wants me to do in some areas of my life. And I urge you and your family to talk about those decisions, about thinking ahead for what if one day, our finances looked like this or our time looked like this. We were able to take an entire day of every week and do something for the kingdom of God with it. What would that look like? How would you use it? How could you set yourself up maybe for getting to that point one day and being ready to be used by God in that way? The sacrifice of Christ didn't come easy. It came through death on a cross. And our sacrifice won't be easy at times either. But that's okay. Because this will pass. This is nothing. What we do with it is something. This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want you to know that myself and some others will be back in that back corner right there, and we would love to talk with you during the end of the service and after the service. We'd love to talk with you about what it means to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. We'd love to pray with you, try to answer any questions you may have. That's the most important thing that you can do in life. For those of us that know Jesus Christ, our stewardship should look like it in every way, shape, and form. Let me pray for us this morning. God, I pray this morning that we would be faithful. God, with whatever it is that you've given us, God, I pray that we would be faithful. God, I pray, Lord, that we would end strong. God, that we wouldn't end with regret one day, but God, that we would look back and we would say, God, did what we could, and God, you blessed it. God, I pray for that, Lord, for us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would be a body of believers that's not afraid to step out on faith and act on the things that you have put on our hearts. God, that if they are for you, if they are for your kingdom, God, I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be about building our kingdoms. I pray that we wouldn't be about building the 24 church kingdom. God, I pray, Lord, that we'd be about building your kingdom, Lord. Lord, thank you so much for everything that you have done for us and what you have given us. God, may we recognize it as things that we can use to glorify you. If there's one person here this morning, God, that doesn't know you, God, I pray, Lord, that they would run to you during the end of this service. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your Son, Jesus, and his sacrifice on the cross.